It's been a while. It's been a while. But I'm coming.
You're listening to Sparking Spiritual Growth. Welcome.
I never thought I would fall in love.
This is the podcast that builds a Christian faith through looking at lessons from the Bible and helping apply them in the real world. It's where the Bible intersects everyday life. In this episode, we examine the role of the church, what business we are in. I think you'll find purpose for your own life, as well as motivation and direction for your own spiritual growth. Hello and welcome to Sparking Spiritual Growth. I'm Jason Sparks. My passion is to find ways to inspire and encourage other Christians to improve their walk with God through personal development. So thank you for joining me. Please leave a rating if you're listening on a podcast platform. You know, you can actually listen to me on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and a lot of other places. You may be seeing this on the website. If so, please feel free to leave a comment. I'd love to hear from you to let me know that you're there. And please share this with someone who might benefit. Feel free to contact me with any thoughts or questions you have. You can reach me through email, sparkinggrowth@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, respond to everything that you send to me. A few years ago, I was reading a story. It's a leadership book, and for the life of me, I cannot remember where I read it. So if you can help me out with this, reach out to me and tell me. Let me know where I read this, if you have too. But the point has stuck with me for years, and the point was simply to understand what business you're in. And the story goes that stagecoaches would go back and forth all throughout the West, and one day, some stagecoach handlers looked up. They heard a strange sound, a whistle, and they looked up, and a half a mile away on train tracks, the first locomotive started running back and forth, and they were going from town to town. And all of a sudden, everything changed. And instead of investing in railroads and investing in locomotives and moving their industry in that direction, a lot of the carriages just went out of business because they forgot what business they were in. They saw the locomotive as competition. Instead of getting on board with it, they thought they had to fight against it. That's the way history works, isn't it? When they realized, probably too late, that they could have invested in those kinds of things themselves and the locomotives and started running with them, they probably would have been okay. But they went out of business because they forgot what business they were in. They thought that they were in the stagecoach driving business, but they were in the delivery business. And if they had kept that in focus, they would have recognized, here's just a better way, a faster way for me to make deliveries, and actually probably a less expensive way as well, a lot safer. And there's a lot of benefits that went along with that. Well, sometimes we get caught up in the church in the same way. It's entirely possible that we do that to ourselves, spiritually speaking, on an individual level as well. So that's what we're going to think about today. I want you to consider what the church's business is. And there are a lot of answers that might be given. If you ask, you poll a group of people, most of the time, from what I've seen, my experience is that they'll say the answer is save souls. And I would agree, but let's define terms a little bit, because we have to ask what it is really that we should be about doing. For example, once we reach people and save them, is our work completed? Obviously, the answer is no. We don't just stop when we help someone identify who Jesus is. They repent of their sins. They confess, they make the great confession of their belief in Jesus, and they're baptized for the remission of their sins. We don't just sit them down in a pew and say, okay, we're done. And we all know that. So we know that there's something more, right? And we might adjust that to say, okay, we're trying to save people, and we're trying to keep them saved once they already are saved. Setting aside a discussion over, who does the saving and who keeps people saved, we can at least admit that there is some responsibility that we have in helping our brothers and sisters make it to heaven, right? But is that really the only way that we function? We know there's more to it than that. For example, does the church function in a praise capacity at all? I mean, are we supposed to be worshiping God regularly? So now we scratch our heads, we smack ourselves. I can't believe I left that one out. I'm just talking about what's typical. You may have already thought about these things. We ask the question, should we be worshiping God regularly? And we change the definition again. So we're in the soul-saving, soul-preserving, and worship business. But wait, what about good deeds? I mean, those you could say that soul-saving and soul-preserving are good deeds, and worship is a good deed, but there's more to it than that, surely. Are those things the only thing we're supposed to be doing? And what about these good deeds that we know we should be doing? Are they only to be done if they are works of evangelism? In other words, do we pin our efforts on the response that we get to have a Bible studies? So I've known some people that said, well, you know, you shouldn't give people food unless you're going to give them a Bible study first and let them go through the Bible study and then they can get the food. Well, that's kind of stipulating something that I'm not sure we should be stipulating. In other words, is doing a good deed dependent upon the reaction of the people before we do the good deed? Do they have to be Christians first? And there are some who say, yeah, they need to be Christians first, and I don't buy that for a second. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. Does it sound like God wants us to qualify people before we love them? John, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18 said, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's very difficult to say that you love someone if you actually neglect them, if you actually intentionally do not help them because they won't respond correctly to the gospel message. I'm certainly glad that Jesus didn't do that. I'm so glad that God didn't have that attitude. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God didn't qualify us before demonstrating his love to us. And I'm so glad he didn't do that. And he doesn't require that of us either. In other words, the good deeds that we do are not just evangelism. It's not just helping people go to heaven. We do good deeds because we love other people. And this should be demonstrated and shown. If we don't demonstrate and show that we love other people, then how do we actually say that we love them and be consistent? I remember that Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, and he said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then he said, the second one is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Not love them if they're doing the things that we want them to do. Not love them as long as they respond appropriately to the gospel, but love them. Period. And so we love them, and we should love them. So we kind of modify it again. So we're in the business of saving souls, keeping people saved, doing good deeds, and worshiping God. And we could probably add to that if we thought about it for long enough. But how can we clearly build towards so many different visions for our work? Are we supposed to just divide up and one part of the church takes evangelism, one part of the church is going to take good deeds, another part of the church is going to take worship? No, we have to do all of those things. So for me, I have to clarify things, and I was so happy when I read this in this book because I'd never really pinpointed it exactly like this. But since I have pinpointed it, the need for being specific and detailed and single-minded of what we're trying to accomplish, it's really helped me in my ministry. It's helped me to grow personally as well. And I admit I have a long way to go in a lot of areas, but that growth has really been there since I've been single-focused on what the goal is. What am I trying to accomplish? Because if I try to accomplish three or four different things at once, that's very confusing. It's very difficult to do. And it really is a formula for stagnation is what it is. Because we get frustrated, we get discouraged, and then the next thing you look up and we don't do anything because we just don't know what to do next. That's not a place where I want to be. So in looking at this, we need to understand that we can summarize all of those things into one idea. And when we have that one thing in our head, we can say, okay, I can focus on this. Now, this helps me. It may not help you. I would love to hear from you to find out if it does actually help. But When we get clearly focused on what it is we're supposed to be doing, then that will help us know what next steps we need to take. So one of the next steps that you might need to take, I want to encourage you to send me an email if you have any questions or comments. I really appreciate you being a part of this, and I would love for this to grow, and I'd love for you to share this with other people, because we can really make a difference in the world through growing ourselves, through the transformation. Everyone wants change. Everyone wants transformation. They all want to be better people than they are now, or at least most of us do. And we can be really an influence on that. Go ahead and contact me if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at sparkinggrowth@gmail.com. Once again, I'd love to hear from you, and I'll respond any way that I can. But how is it that we can clearly build towards so many different visions of our work if we have so many divided? What is a way that we can look at it? The simple answer really is that all those things have to do with soul development. I mean, worship has to do with the development of my soul in bringing praise and worship to God. So I develop that skill, that ability. And also just the attitude is developed. I want to praise and worship God. That has to be nurtured and built. Then we also have the added idea of doing good deeds. We do this so that we can nurture other people, sure, but really when we do good deeds, we benefit ourselves as much as anyone else, because it shapes us. It reinforces what we already believe about how we should love other people, and it lets us develop that love for other people. So we're growing in that sense. And then what about the other things that we do, like helping someone go to heaven? Well, that's certainly soul development. It's developing my soul as I help those other people, and it's definitely developing their soul as they learn to navigate the scriptures and they learn what it is to be a Christian. And by the way, it also gives them some insight on what they should be doing to grow to begin with, because if they see obeying the gospel as a series of steps, which I'm not arguing with the steps at all, but they see it simply as a series of steps that once they go through these things, they've got it made, they've got it all ironed out, and they're right with God. They have no other need or desire for more growth. That's not where we want them to be. But if they see that this is simply something that we're stepping toward a relationship with God, so we repent of our sins, we can make that good confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're baptized for the remission of our sins. Once that is done, we also recognize that those things were done for the glory of God, and now I actually have a life to live in developing my own soul so that I can be a better person, have a better relationship with God and also with other people, because I love Him and I love other people, and I'm trying to develop that love. So in working through this, that's a pretty simple answer, but I think that we can probably go a little bit deeper than that. That was the answer I used to give, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I think it can be a little bit deeper, like I said. The book of Ephesians is a wonderful book that Paul wrote, and in it, the main emphasis is the church that Jesus built. From the beginning of time, before actually time began, in the days of eternity, God had it worked out in His mind that He would have the church. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the establishment of the church there on the day of Pentecost. And there is so much that is there. And Jesus came and preached. He was preparing people for the entry of the kingdom of God. He was preparing people for the establishment of His church on the earth. And Paul was writing about it. We have a lot of information about the mind of God, the purpose of God in establishing the church and what's going on with there. And in this short book, Paul wrote the word glory 8 times. And most of those were in reference to the function and the nature of the church. That is, Christ's church was intended to be to the glory of God, to the praise of His glory. It's used many times, to the praise of His glory. That means that Jesus intended for the church to glorify God in how they behaved. Now, if you look in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus also gave a parable, the parable of the vine and the vine dresser. He says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, there are a lot of things that are going on here that we could talk about, a lot of doctrinal issues that can be brought up. But the number one thing I want you to notice here today is that God, that Jesus intended for us, for his children, to bear fruit. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Anytime someone plants a garden or they're planting flowers, whatever it is, they plant those seeds so that they'll have something grow. Most of the time, if we plant, we want to see something from it. That's the reason that we do it. And so Jesus tells them, he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. In other words, live in me. Live according to the words that I tell you. Live in accordance with my nature and my character. And he says, I am the vine in verse 5. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We can't bear that fruit without Jesus. But with Jesus, we can bear fruit. Not only bear fruit, but bear much fruit. And that's the point. Because if we bear fruit, that means we grow. And God prunes us so that we bear even more fruit. My wife pointed out one time that if God prunes us, pruning, I'm sure if you were a plant, would not feel good. And as Christians, sometimes it doesn't feel good. The things that we're going through may not feel very good at all. But they are good because they will help shape us. They will help us to grow and nurture these different attributes that can be grown. If you want to know, okay, how does this work then in a practical application, look at the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talked about. So we have the fruit of the Spirit that should be developing in our own lives. There's some indication of where we should be going, but instead of going in that direction, I want you to come back here to John chapter 15 and notice more of what he says. He says, if we are not producing fruit, we're going to be cut off. So our job is to produce fruit. That's growth. But I want you to notice verse 8, because this is the key. This whole parable can be summed up as in its purpose in verse 8. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You see, God is glorified by us bearing fruit. Now, there is a lot to say about that, of course. But notice here that he's telling us that we should bear much fruit. And by bearing fruit, much fruit, we will glorify God. That's the point. Our job as the church is to glorify God in heaven. We are to bring glory to him. How? By being who he wants us to be. So as we grow and develop fruit, we glorify God. By this you glorify God when you bear much fruit. So bearing fruit, bearing a lot of fruit that God helps us to do, this is the way that we bring honor and glory to God. And so, as you look at Jesus' life, everything that he did, everything that he said, all that he taught while he was here on this earth, he said it all came from the Father. Everything he learned to do, everything he did, he learned it from his Father. Even the miracles that he did, he learned it from his Father. And that's because he didn't want to receive the glory. He wanted his Father to receive all the glory. And in establishing his church, he did this to the glory of his Father. In building up the church, he does this through the glory of his Father. And in helping us to grow and develop fruit as Christians, as individuals, as children of his, we glorify God by bearing much fruit. It's all to the praise and glory of God. That's a very important idea. There are a lot of ways that you can look at our Christian growth. And there's basically 7 steps that I think that we can look at. I'm going to go through very quickly. I may bring it up in another episode. But there are people who come to God for the blessings that are found in Christ. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not a place to stop. There are also people who emphasize that the blessings are found in God, and that is, they celebrate and they praise God for all the things that God has done for them and all the blessings that they have, which we should be thankful for. And the emphasis is upon the praise and the adoration of God because of what he's done. But we also recognize that sometimes we don't have good things happening to us, or at least it doesn't seem like good things are happening to us. And these kind of people, this stage of salvation, we recognize that, and we turn to God and praise him in spite of those things, looking at the fact that God deserves all praise and all glory regardless of what we're going through. Then the third step is that we understand that we're right with God, and it's good for us to be right, and we want to be right about so many things, but if we stop there, it can seem legalistic because we're so worried about being right that we forget about the relationship. So that fourth step is really someone who is right with God. That is, we are right not so that we can just rub other people's face in it and say, ha ha, I'm better than you, but so that we can have a good relationship with God, because we know that if we are doing what is wrong, we're not going to have a good relationship with God. But if we will do what is right, if we'll be right with him, we'll listen to what he says, follow the word of God, then we'll be right with God. And then there's also a fifth step or fifth stage in our salvation, and that is we're transformed in the image of Christ. And this takes time and effort. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 to get some insight into that. We renew our mind, and this renewal process takes some time, and so we focus on that. And then we also have the sixth stage, and that is that we're transformed into the image of Christ. The focus is on the end result, not just one or two things that we need to change, but the whole character, our whole nature is becoming more and more like Jesus. And then there's a seventh. You see, because all those previous six things that I mentioned, they all have to do with me. It all have to do with you. We all change. We all praise. We are all thankful. We all receive blessings. But the seventh is a transcendence, that we transcend our own selves. And we stop thinking about this in terms of what I get out of it and start thinking about in terms of what God gets. What is God receiving from my life? Now, I know I can't add to God. But when you look at what Jesus' purpose was to glorify God, and what Jesus' purpose was also in developing the church was so that the church would glorify God in its behavior. And as we as Christians, we grow and develop and we bear fruit, as we talked about in John chapter 15. That is a way that we glorify God. We bear much fruit. So I don't bear fruit in my life just because I want to be a better person. That's part of it. But ultimately, I'm bearing fruit in my life because I know that if I grow, the more I grow, the more glory and honor God receives as a result of that. And God deserves a whole lot more than I can give him. I could live my entire lifetime, if I could, in perfection, glorifying God with every word and every breath and every activity and every thought. If I could do that, it still wouldn't be enough. But it's something. And I can't help but try my best to glorify God in all that I do and all that I say. That's what growth is about. That's what motivates the growth. That's because if we have that kind of motivation, we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we are at that point, if we're loving God with everything that we have, it stops being about us. It stops being about me, and I get to be in a relationship with God, pouring myself out to him because he is the one that I'm doing it for. He is the one. It's all about him and not about me. So when you think about that, we have the idea of glory being attributed to God, glory being given to God by our lives and by the church. And this is borne out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look there, what Paul talks about here is the resurrection, but he in this one little section here, I want you to notice what he says. He says in verse 23, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, talking about being raised, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Verse 24 is a very powerful passage. And he talks about the end of time when Jesus comes back. It says he will deliver the kingdom of God to the Father. And this delivery is like a transfer of ownership. Jesus is taking us as his people, and he is delivering to God the Father as if we were a gift. The glory and honor that is being developed and grown in the church, the glory that is intended to be for God, will be given to the Father as if we were he is giving a gift to the Father, and we are that gift. We are to the praise of the glory of God. Not because we're so special, but because what God has done through us, we have become, we are made into the image of his dear Son. We who were lost and sinners and dying and hopeless, he has made alive, right? God's the only person who can do that. And he gets all the honor and glory as a result of that. So Jesus is delivering the church to the Father. That's who's going to be saved. That's where I want to be. So that means that the more we grow, the more fruit we produce in our lives, the more praise and glory God receives. When you see it in that light, our function in the church is simply just to glorify God. How do we do that? Every possible way. We do it by listening to his word, obeying it, no more and no less. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, but you do it. You find every way possible, every way conceivable to do everything that we can to bring honor and glory to God. How? By bearing much fruit. We're growing. We're developing. That also means, since we're taking us out of the loop, we get to include other people in that. So as we praise and glorify God, we also can influence other people so they can also praise and glorify God. And because of us, because of our interaction with them, they are praising God. We can say, in a sense, we are also praising God through them, that God is receiving even more glory from my efforts as I help other people to grow and praise God themselves. We're a part of that. And it's not because we are the source of it, but we are a part of it. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have a God who will allow us to work with him as he works through us? And we can help other people to develop much fruit. Wow, you know, this is the reason that I'm in ministry. I want to help people grow. I want to help you grow. And my intention is to do everything within my power, my limited, very limited power, and all of the knowledge that I have and the limited knowledge and understanding that I have, I want to share with as many people as I can with the one intention that you will grow and glorify God. Because the more we do, the more we grow, the more God receives glory. So I'd love to hear from you. Once again, please email me if you have any questions or comments, anything you would like to discuss, any Bible questions. Maybe you have ideas for future episodes. I'd love to hear them. You can contact me by email, sparkinggrowth@gmail.com. Again, I'm Jason Sparks. I'm so happy that you are a part of this podcast. Please share it with other people. And until next time, bear much fruit.